Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me, I have one brother today, and that would be Taj Jackson. How are you, Taj?
Am I on? Yeah, come on now. What up?
How are you, man?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. The year's flying.
Yeah.
But besides that, all is well.
Yeah. TJ, it's so weird because I don't even know what days. I thought it was Monday yesterday. And then someone told me, no, it was Tuesday. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Let's finish this because I do want to ask a couple questions about that.
Yeah.
We are live on the Power of Love show. So if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we will be opening up the phone lines. You can always ask us questions via Twitter. You can make comments via Twitter. And that Twitter handle is, Taj, you want to say it?
It's at DDJ Foundation. Again, that's at the letters DDJ and then the word foundation.
If you prefer to call, you can call in at 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And what we like to do is share our opinions and what we've learned in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is that you may be going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Don't just rely on us. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get right back, Taj. It was important to do the intro and the disclaimer, but because I'm going through the similar situation where I'm forgetting what day I'm on. Is that just being busy? Is that age? Is it combination? What are you thinking?
Well, we don't have typical 9-to-5 jobs, so I think that's one of the things, because people look forward to their Fridays, yeah. You know, and they dread their Mondays, you know, if you're going back to work or something like that. For me, it's just, everything's just rolled into one. It's almost like it's a nonstop day. It's just whether or not I go to sleep or not. And then I start it up again.
Yeah.
In that way. But I don't think it's age, you know, cause age is something that, I've been in this pattern a pretty long time. So it's not really age. I think it's also, yeah, busy. Cause I'm, you know, with the baby as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know, TJ, why you're starting to actually witness it now.
I'm just getting, it's flying. Life is flying.
Well, yeah, it does seem to, time speeds up.
And I feel like because of that, you get lost on what day, and at least what date it is.
Yeah, the date I have to always look at, you know, 100%.
So I just think it's moving fast. But anyway, let's go real quick so we can get started on our topic. You want to tell us a bit about how your week was?
Honestly, I don't remember. I mean, I know that's not good.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not a
good... Do you want me to start first?
Yeah, you start, and let me look at the calendar while you do that.
Okay, well, I was in Nashville for 2 weeks. Well, 10 days. I always say 2 weeks, but I guess it's 10 days. But or I guess it is 2 weeks. But I was out there doing music. I have a producer I like out there, and it's just a getaway for me, mm-hmm. what Nashville is. And I try to go every 3 to 4 months, and just to get away and to create and clear my mind and really spend time with myself. Maybe back in the day, I used to feel that that may be a selfish thing to say, but as I've gotten older, I've learned the importance of that. Mm. So for our listeners, if you haven't done that in a while, spend time to yourself. I think it's a very important thing.
Spend time for you, yeah.
Yeah, it's very important, because especially when you have kids, you'll fall into a pattern where you give so much to your kids, as you should, that you kind of lose sense of self and of yourself. And even if it's a weekend on your own, you know, in a random city, just spend time with yourself doing whatever it is you like to do. Hmm. But maybe others don't have that situation. Maybe it's because I have a lot of kids, mm-hmm. That for me, it's very rewarding. But either way, I enjoy it, and that's what I did. With that said, the first week, Royal was with me, which was a lot of fun. So he went to Nashville, and then we spent the weekend in New York.
Nice.
And we had a more plan than what we actually accomplished. But Royal loves New York. That's probably that's his funny. Favorite city in the world.
That's great.
And we got to go to the 911 Memorial.
Oh, wow.
We've been there before, but it's just spectacular, and it's just so well done. Mm-hmm. So anyone who's in New York who hasn't been, make sure you go. And anyone who is going to New York, try to get there, because it's just really well done, and it's very impactful.
Got it. Was that his first time going to, not New York, but to the memorial?
No, he's been there before.
Okay.
He's been there before. But, you know, to me, you know, and it's what our show is about. There's not so many great opportunities to talk about loss in a very open way. Mm-hmm. And to me, the memorial does a great job of really getting you to think in your thoughts about life and how privileged we are, and to be more grateful for the time we have here as well as our loved ones, you know, because the 9/11 tragedies were devastating for everyone. I can only imagine how devastating it was for those who lost family members, and they're still dealing with it. So, I just think it's a very good place to take a family and just to kind of recalibrate where you're at mentally. It's hard to worry about trivial things when you go to places like that.
It kind of, not humbles you, but it puts everything in perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and another thing that put people in, hopefully put people's minds into perspective was the memorial.
Yes.
So we can segue into that if you still don't have anything to share.
Well, that was one of the big things watching that. Also, we had our DDJF meeting, which was a great meeting.
Yes. Our board meeting.
Board meeting. So we have a lot of interesting and great things planned for this year in terms of you know, everything that we do. So I'm really happy and excited about it. This is going to be a great year for DDJF as well.
Nice. Taj, did you watch the Kobe Memorial on Monday?
Yes, I did. I missed Beyonce's performance.
Okay.
Or I should say her dedication. I missed it because I just tuned in late. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of those that I saw it on Twitter, and then I was trying to figure out how to see it. And by the time I did, I had missed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really thought it was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
It's certain things that I think as a society we need to see, in terms of you see grief and you see that there's really no way, there's no right way to handle grief in a way. There's all different types of people, all different walks of life, you know, professional athletes to coaches to just, you know, regular people, and everyone was grieving differently in a way. And but it also, and we'll talk about this, it also still, you know, there's still that stigma of men crying, you know, that people, I guess people feel bad crying, you know, when you're a man feeling, you know, like you shouldn't.
I think the stigma goes both ways though. I just think we're just insensitive to people crying and showing emotion, because if a man cries, he's being weak, and if a woman cries, she's not being strong enough.
You think so?
I kind of do.
Not when it comes to loss.
I don't know. I kind of do. Well, I mean, in this case, maybe, you know, Vanessa sharing tears is obvious.
Yeah, that's obvious.
But a female speaker sharing, I don't know. Maybe you're right, Taj.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I just think our society is too judgmental, period.
I think either is fine in that way. I think loss and grief, you're supposed to show your emotions for it.
Well, today's show is going to be about memorial services, and you know, and obviously we're going to spotlight Kobe's and Gianna's, which happened Monday, February 24th, which on the calendar reads 2/24. Mm-hmm. For those of you that don't know, Gianna's basketball number was number 2, and Kobe's was number 24.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the importance of the date.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was a great memorial service, because not only did you have, you know, Vanessa speaking, but you had Michael Jordan, who was Kobe Bryant's boyhood hero.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
for
sports. You had, you know, some female athletes that Kobe was, you know, helping influence and helping inspiring and mentoring. You had some coaches, and you just had a lot of great figures that came out to speak. And everyone, I think, did an amazing job. I don't like saying it. Did an amazing
tribute.
Mm-hmm. And I found it very impactful. For me, I haven't gotten over the Kobe Bryant passing.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday kind of put me right back to almost where I was, you know, within that first week of him passing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's a normal, natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
My heart just breaks for Vanessa mm-hmm. and the kids. I think it breaks, obviously, because I'm a human and I'm compassionate. But I also feel it hurts because I can kind of understand to an extent the road they're going to have to face with Kobe being such a massive public figure.
Yeah.
And it's a different road and it's a tougher road. So that is something that is tough for me to still get through. But yes, as I said earlier, today's show is going to be all about memorial services. So do you attend them? What do you feel when you attend them? What is your mindset? What do you try to get out of it? What do you bring anything? Anything regarding memorial services?
Did you have to put one together for a family member? And how was that like in terms of, because I know that could be a lot of pressure too.
All of that. Plus, if you want to just simply comment on the Kobe Bryant memorial service, now's a great chance. With that said, Taj, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
What is your state of mind? I know you didn't attend Kobe's, as I didn't mm-hmm. as well. But what is your state of mind when you do attend a memorial service?
My state of mind is I just want to be there for the person. It's someone usually that I know pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Or that has either they have passed and I'm honoring them by going in a mm-hmm. way. I know it sounds weird to say honoring them, but I'm, you know, showing my respects. Yeah, showing my respects.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's someone that I'm close to, that a parent or a loved one of theirs has passed, and I'm showing yeah. support in a
so,
way.
So in essence, your role at a memorial can fluctuate depending on what you, because you're there for support.
I'm always there for support, depending on, and even no matter what it is, I'm a support person.
Because, I'll take Clyde's yeah. memorial service. I didn't really know anyone
mm-hmm.
besides Clyde. You know, I think he is family. I knew of his family,
yeah.
but I didn't really have any relationship with any of his family members or really any of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Clyde was kind of an individual we just knew and grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
So in that essence, I felt that was more paying respect to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you go to a memorial service where you know the whole friends and it's a family member or a good friend's, you know, parent had passed, you are there for support.
Got
Would
it.
You agree with that?
In a way, yeah. Because you're still showing support by going, you know. And even though you, attending Clyde's, you don't know anyone, that family knows you. And
yeah.
they've heard of you. And by you showing, going there, it supports them.
I also just think them seeing, you know, as we always preach on this show and through the foundation, is community is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Being supportive and letting people know they aren't alone
yeah.
is very powerful. And whether the family knows you or not, just seeing a body there paying respect to someone they loved
mm-hmm.
is very supporting
yeah.
for anyone who's lost a friend or a family
exactly.
member. So I do advise and suggest, I know it could be painful, it could be tough, but when you do go to memorial services, remember that it's a time for you to show your respect to that person, their family, but you're serving a second role in showing that that person was loved, and you're giving strength to the immediate family of that person.
And I would just like to say, because I know some people, it's hard for them, like it's too fresh. And, you know, they just feel like, oh, I can't do it. You know, I can't go or anything like that. If you are on that side and you're teeter tottering and you're in that 50%, like I could, you know, but I don't want to go. I would recommend going, because there's always the I wasn't there kind of attitude later on that comes.
The regret
that okay. I've seen a lot of my friends go through because they weren't ready to go to a funeral or something because it was too close to home.
Mm.
But then they had regrets later on in life in terms of not going. And that shouldn't be the case anyway, because you're beating yourself up for it in that way. But I've seen that too many times. So I err on the side of always going, even if it's something that I'm kind of reluctant to go, I will go.
Yeah. And another thing that I think is important to share is that I don't think any of our listeners are, well, maybe there is, but you should never be judgmental on what kind of memorial service is being given. Whether it's a, you know, just a family grouping at a particular a house, or at the, you know, the burial site, mm-hmm. or at a church, or in this case for Kobe at the Staples Center, mm-hmm. it's never our job or role to judge how the family elects to, you know, say goodbye.
Yeah,
I think that's very important. I don't like
that
I
is said, very important.
I don't think people judge, but regardless of religion or ideas or personal opinion, it's so important that you are just there to support the family.
Two of my favorite, I shouldn't hit the word favorite, two of the most impactful mm-hmm. memorials that I've witnessed was our friend Scott's father. I'm not going to say the last name because mm-hmm. out of respect. Mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hate to say this real quick. Was I there?
Think you were.
I'm not recalling that one.
Really?
Maybe it will come to me.
Okay. And then my friend Jen's mother's memorial.
Which I wasn't at.
No, you weren't.
Okay.
100% weren't at that.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm saying that, because those were two people that I didn't know. And I knew them because mm-hmm. I had seen them often, you know, Scott for mm-hmm. baseball, you know. His father for baseball and Jen, just being friends with Jen mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I had seen them around and I'd been courteous and, hey, how are you doing and all that stuff. But I didn't know them mm. in that way. And the memorial for me was, it was amazing seeing all these people talk so highly about them and, you know, just sharing stories. And by the end of it, I felt like I knew these people mm. and I felt the joy and I felt sorrow that I didn't know them. Wow. In that way. And that's why I say they're the most impactful to me and most memorable because, you know, I didn't know the person very well and I kind of got to know their life through other people. And why I'm saying all this is because, in a way, I'm not a sports person, you know that. Yeah. So Kobe kind of was like that for me. I didn't follow him and I knew of him from the Lakers and all yeah. that stuff. And I knew him from obviously Uncle Michael, you know, talking to him and all that stuff. But I didn't know like stats and I didn't know who he hung out with and rivalries and all that stuff. I didn't follow any of that stuff, but just hearing people talk so highly about him and how he mentored other people. And, you know, it just, it made me feel closer to him as well. And in that way, I always knew there was a loss, that the world was feeling a loss, but then it made me like, dang, I wish I would have watched his games or I would have, you know, paid more attention to him. So,
yeah.
You know, that's, I think that's the impact memorials can do too. And the Scott and the Jen ones were simple, and I say simple, but they just were regular, you know, memorials mm-hmm. that happened at a church. They weren't anything elaborate.
Right. All right, Taj, we have a couple of phone calls coming in, so we'll take our first phone call. Well said, by the way.
Thank you.
Who is joining the line on the Power of Love show?
Hi, TJ and Taj. It's Meredith.
Hi, Meredith. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I was calling in regards to Kobe Bryant Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting Monday. First of all, when Kobe first passed and the accident happened, what was interesting, we had just went through Calabasas off of La Versa, you know, Las Versas. Mm-hmm. And when we had got to church, which was our destination, that's when we heard what had happened. And so for me and my daughters, that got us right away. Like, mm-hmm. wow, we were just there. And both of us, it was interesting, had a thing like, what could we have done? In which we know mm-hmm. it was nothing, but being so close when that happened, that really got to us. And it drained us for a couple of days because it kept hurting us.
Yeah.
Then with the memorial, which was interesting, it was on my birthday because my birthday was Monday. Not only that, it was like that day I didn't get to watch the memorial because I was working. But when I came home and I saw the clip of Vanessa, that really got me because today is the anniversary of my mom's death. So all that wound up in one, you can really get drained from that because you're feeling so bad for her. And when the thing that really got me that she said, I think really caused me to break down was when she said about seeing Gigi, she won't get to teach her how to drive. She won't get to hear her walk down the aisle. Those things that are so important to a mother, with me being a mother myself, that hurt. And I just, I like you said, the memorial is for that person. And the most beautiful thing to me that I took from that memorial is when Michael Jordan helped her down the stairs. I don't know why that was such a beautiful thing to me, because I was like, man, this is such a legend helping another younger legend that came after him, helping himself. And I thought that was such a beautiful thing. But yeah, memorials are hard. I mean, like I said, I still think about my mom's funeral, especially with today, like I said, being the anniversary of her death. And it's something you don't forget. So you, like you guys said, I could feel what she's getting ready to go through, and the kids, what the rest of the kids are going to go through. It's a process. It's a process you got to go through every day. It doesn't go away. It may get a little easier, but it doesn't go away, because you're always going to feel, I remember this is the day this happened. And that's the part that I feel for her and the kids, and her other daughters.
Yeah. Before I let you go, by the way, thank you so much. It's been a great call, Meredith. So thank you for sharing all that. But before I let you go, I have a quick question. When I heard you say, when you passed Las Virgenes, and you know, that was the exit near where the accident took place, did you, and you felt like you could help, but obviously you couldn't, did you feel the emotion of guilt?
I don't know what we saw. It just was clear that we were in church, and we saw it, and then we saw where it happened, and we saw the time, and it was just in my first mind, like, oh, what if I could have pulled off and went and ran and grabbed and pulled them out, and then to hear my daughter say the same thing, she's like, I felt like we could have did something, which we know we couldn't.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if you feel guilty or you just feel, helpless.
Yeah, that we may have missed talking about. I know we both thought about it at some point, but talking about it was you're right, to me, one of the most gut-wrenching parts of the memorial service was when Vanessa was listing the simple things that Gigi, you know, and her and Kobe and the family would miss out on, you know, teaching her how to drive, attending the father-daughter dance, you know, walking her down the aisle. Those are such simple but important staples in life that, you know, we often take for granted. And you know, and I'm so happy that she mentioned those things, because those are the things that can happen for all of us. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of, you know, salary you have or what kind of income you have. Those are such simple things that are really what matter in life. And you know, and I think that's why also it's so it connects with everyone, so it's that much more impactful. But Meredith, thank you so much for the call. It was an excellent one, and you have a good rest of your week.
Thank you. You guys take care.
All right. You too. Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
So I love that call. Fantastic. What a way to start.
Yeah.
I had another question for you, Taj, but I forgot.
Great.
Do you remember Uncle Michael's memorial service pretty well?
You know, TJ, because, you know, certain things are traumatic in a way. Mm-hmm. I remember it's almost like a movie where they do flashes, you know, like those. I remember certain parts of it. It's almost a whirlwind to me in terms of, I do remember not sitting with the family because it was just such a chaotic thing. And there's only a certain amount of seats that I was like, I'll just sit. And I, so I sat like probably like 10 rows back.
Even from Toronto, or were we with you?
I don't remember. I think you guys
sat with family.
Yeah, you guys were a little more aggressive. You know, you had to be aggressive or whatever to get up there. But I just was like, that's not the important thing right now for me. Yeah. And so I sat back with everyone else, whatever. But I remember that. I remember, it's weird. It's just, it's a day. Like I've caught myself, like people saying, oh, did you know so-and-so was there? Or did you know so-and-so performed? I don't remember. So it's like, oh, wow. You know, I don't remember much about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and I don't remember really anything, but I don't know if that's,
you might not remember a lot more than I do though, which is scary.
I don't think so, Taj. I mean, I remember what I remember is
I didn't even remember where it was at.
Well, you remember Staples Center.
Yeah. But I remembered after, like, but I just, like, my brain was there, like, in that.
I, I only remember from pictures and some video.
Yeah, well, that helps.
But if there were no pictures or videos, I don't think I remember. And I'm trying to figure, do I not remember because A, I just have a bad memory, which is true. Or is it one of those things?
True,
yeah. Or was it B, because it was something I didn't want to remember or think about? Or was it C, my mind wasn't there? It was still dazed processing. And confused and processing.
Because I don't even remember what I wore. I don't. Like, if someone showed me a picture, I'd be like, I guess that's what I wore that day.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting that you say that in a way. I remember more the private memorial or the thing afterwards. I remember that more.
Me too.
You know, I do remember that a little more than I remember the public memorial, which is interesting because I think it was a little later.
The public was later?
I don't know. People don't quote me on this. I thought it was.
I don't remember either. Yeah.
Because I think the private one was the one was the burial.
Hmm.
I think. Don't.
The private one was the burial.
Yeah. So
I do know that.
I think that was after.
That was after the public. Yeah. I'm just wondering if it was the next day, if it was the same day.
I don't know.
I actually think it, I don't know. I want to see.
You know, another thing too, I mean, maybe they'll be interested in this. It was hard too because it was such a public thing that I remember all the, and I want to say, not negative stuff, but it was like a show to put on, you know, in that way. And it was like, okay, it was almost like putting on a show. And because we're, I don't want to say high up in the, but we saw some of that in terms of, I don't want to say politics, but we saw some of that, who's going to come and who can't perform and who da da da.
So it took
it became away almost like a concert, tribute concert.
Yeah.
In that way. And so that kind of, you know, bothered me too, but it wasn't something we were, could have any say in. And I mean, we, the family, it was just more of, it was almost larger than us at that point.
Yeah. But isn't that kind of the purpose of the public service, is to kind of give, especially in a such a large icon, such as Uncle Michael or Kobe, that is kind of the purpose of the public, is to give the public a chance to say their goodbyes or to pay respect.
Which is why we didn't have much, you know, wasn't.
Yeah. It's just a very interesting dynamic. We'll take another phone call. Who do we have on the line with us on the Power of Love show?
Hi, this is Alicia.
Hey, Alicia, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent.
I was calling about the memorial service on Monday. I did watch it, and I think that, you know, you guys were just talking about your uncle's memorial. I watched that too. I think that the public memorials were more so for, you know, like the fans and the general public who didn't really know them very well. And the private ones were obviously for, you know, close family and friends. But I think that both were kind of necessary because, you know, as public figures, I think almost everybody needed some type of closure.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the fans and everything, quote unquote, deserved it, but, you know, as beloved as both are, then, you know, that was something that even if you guys didn't want to do it, it kind of had to be done. And, you know, like Taj was saying, kind of was the politics of it all. I have also been to private memorials. Two that I remember distinctly were classmates that unfortunately passed away at an early age, who were both, you know, like a year or so younger than me in school. I went to a school that was, you know, it was K-8, so it was kind of like Buckley in that sense. So even though I wasn't really close to either one of them, I, you know, kind of felt a need to go because, you know, I did know them at some point and were semi-close to them, you know, when we were growing up. So that was something that I felt like I needed to do, especially to support their family. And in some cases, like, and one case, even though I wasn't very close to the person, like my next door neighbor, who was like a brother to me, was best friends or is best friends with her brother. So And again, we were in the same class. Mm-hmm. So I felt the need to go to his sister's memorial and everything. And I don't know, I guess kind of like for me, funerals and everything are, they're not really easy to go to, but kind of something that, you know, you have to do, as we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Death is, you know, a part of life, and you kind of can't shield yourself away from it. So, you know, I was very grateful to I guess the Bryant family, as well as yours, to be able to say goodbye to, and, you know, in that sense.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well said. Well, thank you for sharing all that, Alicia. And
you're welcome.
I'm gonna let you go, but I'm gonna piggyback off of something you said.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
But thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What I wanted to say, Taj, is she said something that was very powerful to me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I I'm happy she said it. She said that, you know, oftentimes we don't want to go to the memorial service. And correct me or add on, Taj, if you can, if there's anything I'm missing. But the reason why we often don't like to go is because it's bringing back pain, you know, and it's losing someone is a very tough thing to have to deal through and go through. And when you go to a memorial service, you're reminded constantly of what you lost, as well as someone else that you may have lost. It just brings back that mentality of loss and the realness of how fragile we all are.
That's a good point, yeah.
But what I think is important to say, it's still important to go, obviously for supporting others, but also for ourselves. I think it's very healthy to have those kind of reminders that life isn't promised, that life is fragile. And I think it can help us become better people while we're here on this planet.
Yeah.
So, in short, what I'm trying to say is...
Yeah, what are you trying?
I'm trying to tell people to go.
Yeah.
Go to these services, no matter how painful, no matter how much you don't want to go. Go for so many reasons. To support your loved one who passed, or support the person you passed. Support your loved one who's going through the most difficult time by losing someone they loved. And go for yourself to remind yourself. There's no better reminder, in my opinion, to live life the right way and to be thankful for your life and your loved ones.
Yeah, I've definitely tried to go to, if a friend has lost someone, I've definitely tried to go to the memorial of that person's lost one. It depends on, obviously, if I'm in town or not. But yeah, if I can make it, I will always try and be there.
And are you going primarily for them?
100%. Yeah. I mean, that initially, yeah, it's for them, unless I knew the person as well. But mainly for them.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's because, to be completely honest with you, when my mom passed, there were a lot of people that surprised me from school that, you know, were there. And I'm not going to say for the memorial, I'm just saying were there for us. And, I'll never forget that. It was so comforting. And a lot of people that I wouldn't have never expected, that I really wasn't even close to as much. And it just, every little bit helped in that way. I remember everyone, and every little bit helped. It didn't matter who it was. Obviously, certain people you expect to be there because they're like brothers or sisters to you. But then others that you just, it's like the ones that you weren't as close to, you feel their warmth as well.
Well said.
Yeah.
And I think what I want to add to that, Taj, is because you take my, where I was mentally when mom passed, I don't really remember who was there, who wasn't there.
Do you remember Havenhurst one?
I do. I remember that one more.
Why do you remember that? Because that's exactly the one I remember more. That's what I was talking about. I remember that one more than I remember mom's.
I think, Taj.
I don't remember.
Well, let me ask you this question. Was Havenhurst that day?
It was like, I think it was literally.
The next day?
It was very, like, because we all went to Havenhurst. I remember that.
I think Uncle Michael flew in town.
I don't know if he flew. I don't know. He probably, knowing him, he probably did.
I think I remember Havenhurst more because I think.
See, why we're on the same wavelength though. Like we're I feel like because
Uncle Michael was the first time, him coming there, and him changing the tone in a way of the day, brought happiness, even if it was short lived.
Yeah.
Even if it was for a minute, because I remember, you know, Uncle Michael's mentality was more celebrating.
Yeah.
It was
remember
more
Dee Dee,
remember her instead of mourning. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that was the vibe, the energy it gave off was like, you know, no, keep it going. Like he didn't want us to fall and crash and stop. It was more like, okay, now we got to really push.
Yeah.
You know, that was his mentality. And I'm thinking maybe that's why, because that was the first instance. It was a big jolt.
Yeah.
It was one I wasn't expecting. It was one I wasn't planning for and the one I wasn't seeing. So when it happened, it really shook my mentality at that point.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, once that day was over, I'm right back to where I was. Yeah. But that jolt, I think, was why it was more memorable. With that said, it still isn't crazy memorable.
Yeah, no.
But again, Mom's memorial.
That was like, what, 20-something years ago?
Oh,
25?
26.
26, yeah. So,
25 and a half.
So, yeah, that's understandable, too.
Like, if I didn't see footage or pictures from Mom's memorial service at Forest Lawn, I would have no clue what that was.
I only know from a story on Extra or something like that. And so that's all I remember is just walking in. That's it. From that picture, from that video. Like, I don't remember much at all. I don't remember who
Talking. I don't remember who was there, who wasn't there, who talked, I don't remember any of that.
Yeah.
It was just a daze to me.
And I remember the nightmare before, though. See, that's the thing. I just like Uncle Michael's memorial. Like, we were debating if we should do it on a certain date because... because a lot of the Buckley people wouldn't be able to come because it was during school or something.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a weird scenario. And so... Buckley did their own little thing for Mom.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, what else did I want to say? Taj, do you think other cultures, obviously some cultures do, but let's say other cultures that are similar to ours, Europe, Asia, you think the mentality around memorial services are similar? And if so... And if not, I should say, if they're not similar, is that primarily based because of religious reasons? Or is it social reasons?
I don't know. Our listeners probably could help us with that. I am scared to guess on that. I mean,
I didn't mean to put that in.
No, I have certain, you know, my wife obviously lived in Paris for a long period of time and stuff like that, and Brazil as well. And so.
Did she attend a memorial service in Paris?
I'm sure she did, but I never asked, you know, like she never mentioned, you know, we had to go to this one or that one and all that stuff. So her mom would have been a better person to ask in that way because her mom.
I'm very curious to know what the difference, how it's.
I would assume it's universal, TJ. I honestly would. I would assume, you know, just like loss is universal. It's just grief, you know, and I don't really think that maybe different cultures do celebrate. You know, I'm sure there's certain cultures that celebrate life as opposed to grieve about the loss, you know, and that's part of their culture. But for me, I don't know. I honestly don't know what I think we need to celebrate. The Kobe thing, sorry. It was what made me smile was the jokes and the almost the light tones of certain things, you know, like, whether it was Shaq's joke, you know, about the team, you know, the basketball coach that said that I knew she wasn't listening to her daddy because she passed or something, you know, she passed the ball. So there's certain things that they lightened up the mood in that way. And I think that was, you know, or Jordan's joke on his own meme, you know, like those things kind of made it like you – made it okay for you to laugh, which I think is so needed in there too.
I do too. And there was actually a couple of camera shots where you saw Vanessa break into a smile, you know, from a joke.
Yeah. It's a great, jokes in the right way are a great equalizer. And I think you feel that too with people laughing with you and you know, and I think that's the thing. I'm just hoping that that family and felt that love, you know, because they're going to need it, because there is something also being in the public eye. It's you're everything's watched, you know, and you don't get to really grieve privately.
And in addition to that, not only is everything watched, but everything seems to be it's just a big target.
Yeah.
You know, people will go where there's oftentimes people will be insensitive that that's an actual person with the family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to
not
me,
a headline.
And not a headline. So to me, that memorial service serves that purpose too, is to let people know that this is a family that actually has a loss, and not just a basketball player who died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because oftentimes when we see, whether they're musicians or athletes, we see them one way. You know, we see them and don't really think of them as actual human beings that have families, that actually hurt, that cry, that miss out on important things. And I think the memorial service serves that role, much like ours did with Uncle Michael.
Can I ask you a question, though? This is an interesting thing. Well, at least in my opinion. Because and I don't say be guilty of this, but I'm guilty of this. But when I say it, I mean it. You know, when you say I'll always be there for you and the kids or whatever. If it's someone that you know that has lost a father or vice versa, mother or whatever, you want to be there, and you're always saying like you're part of my family as well. And when I say it, I generally mean it. Mm-hmm. You know, they are like I will be there for them. You know, if they call or whatever. But then I have my so Hollywood cynicism because of our family. Of you know, it's like I heard certain people say it. You know, in Kobe's thing, and I don't know their relationships. I'm sure they will be there for them in a way. But then I'm so cynical of, you know, of celebrityism that I'm like, will they really be there? Or is it just something that they say because it's like the right thing to say at the time?
Taj, I don't know that.
And obviously it depends on the relationship. But I'm just so cynical of that just because of Uncle Michael. And I know that a lot of the people that said that weren't there for him.
You know what it is, Taj? I don't think they mean they'll be there for that person. I think they mean they'll be there for that person's family.
But they haven't, a lot of them, and when it comes to Uncle Michael, they haven't been there for our family. If you watch the memorial again, you probably would get angry seeing certain people like, where are you? You know, like they disappeared. And I haven't watched it for that purpose.
And you know what? You're probably right. And I think time also just, you know, people forget and move on to different things.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, and I only can speak on my side, I think my heart hurts so much for Vanessa and the family because, like I said, you know, it's so close to home.
The little things, too.
It's just, I just know, you know, like I said, every time these babies see a Kobe Bryant jersey playing basketball,
just basketball
at the park.
In general.
Or watch basketball game or drive by the Staples Center.
Basketball in general.
Or watch, see a kid pass by wearing Kobe shoes. It's just a constant reminder of what you lost. And that's why I think I'm so empathetic and sympathetic to them, because I obviously feel bad and horrible for every single person who lost their life and their families.
100%.
Sending love and prayers to each and every one of them, because they all experienced a massive, massive loss.
An equal loss.
It's just for me, I could kind of relate to the extra sting that happens with Kobe's immediate family.
It's weird, though. I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. Because at the same time, I get joy out of knowing that people, you know, care in that way. And so, maybe 5 years later, someone wearing a Kobe jersey might bring them joy in a way like, wow, our dad or my husband did this.
That's a good point.
You know, and that way we get constant reminders.
That's a good point.
Impact. Well,
that's a good point. And I think that's a very strong point and something that I would agree with. I still think there's every now and then those moments where you're reminded and it can kind of make you more sad.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a very good point.
Because I mean, honestly, between Mom and Uncle Michael, I was more scared of not forgetting Mom because we didn't have lots of pictures. But I'm constantly reminded about Uncle Michael in terms of music or whatever. But it was Mom that I was worried about because our pictures were stolen, you know, and this and that. So, and there was the time when we didn't have iPhones where we could just keep taking pictures and stuff like that. So it's a different mentality. So that's why I said that.
No, that's a good point, Taj. It's a good point. I want to read a couple of tweets.
Yeah.
One is from Nicole, 61 Belgium, on Twitter. She said, before I lost my dad, I was afraid to go to memorials. But after, it wasn't easier, but I was feeling more empathy. And with a big hug, I was giving love naturally and support. So thank you for sharing that, Nicole, because I think for some, they don't like to go.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to go. So thank you for sharing that. And then Tiffany loves MJ and 3T. She shares that actually she got into a verbal altercation directly after the public memorial service for Uncle Michael. A guy in dialysis made a snide remark, and Tiffany went into warrior mode, and her dad had to physically carry her out. And she did put LOL as Taj is laughing. And she says she demands respect for all of us.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I love the support and the love. And here's another thing I want to say, because I'm sure Taj, you'll agree. But even though we don't see those kind of instances, we don't see those exact and tangible support, we feel it.
Yeah. We 100% feel it.
We feel it, whether it's with tone, whether it's, you know,
in the air,
it's truthfully, we feel it. So I just want to send a big thank you to everyone out there who has supported ourselves in our losses, whether it's our mother, our Uncle Michael, and the whole family. It truly means a lot. And I want to encourage you to also send that love and be so protective for the Bryants.
Yeah.
And saying that, I guess we probably should have talked about this. I didn't know if you guys did when I was away, but that's why when Snoop did his thing, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
It really didn't bother me one bit, because he was protecting someone who's in a way unprotectable.
Yeah.
Because the media just will go nuts on you if they want. They're so insensitive to the fact that there's a family and kids that have experienced the worst thing possible. And all they care about is clicks, money, and just views.
I remember the kids, Michael's kids, when we did the Hawaii getaway for the first time, and the paparazzi were just following us around, and they didn't even care. They wanted shots because it was money. Instead of letting them grieve, they were looking for, you know, photos and stuff like that. And it's just, you know, there should be a barrier.
It should be
compassion.
It should be moral and human compassion, but it's not.
No.
And in my opinion, sometimes society has to get that back and grab it back. And to me, that's why I was hoping what Snoop did would turn the tide. You know, obviously,
if they're on notice, I think that's the thing. Because I think if Vanessa goes out and paparazzi start taking pictures, that people are going to get very protective again, which is in a good way.
Yeah, it's important. It's important. And obviously no one wants anything negative to happen to Gail King, but she needs to be more respectful.
Yeah,
to be talking about, and not only just talking, but harping on something.
Empathy.
It's just so disrespectful to me before he's even buried.
Yeah.
You know, and
to a friend. You know, that who is not only, I don't even want to use the word defending, but still grieving in a way.
Yeah.
You know, who is saying, this is who my friend is. And then someone else saying, no, well, you wouldn't know who your friend is. And it's like, it's just.
So for me, you know, I understood where he was coming from. I understood
the
passion.
It's all delivery, though, to you. We learned that, you know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
But in my opinion, sometimes when you deliver things incredibly strong, it ends things.
Or when you're in an emotional state.
Because if he delivered it in a very nice way, nothing would have happened.
Yeah. And he was hurting.
So I get it. Like I said, I didn't and don't want anything to happen to Gail or Oprah or anyone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this has to stop, where you think you could just snatch at someone. You know, I just don't think it's right, and it's the wrong time. Again, because a family and kids are involved.
Yeah.
So, all right, Taj. I'm happy I remembered that.
Yeah.
But anything else you want to say before we close the show?
No. I mean, I didn't think I was going to watch the memorial, you know, but then again, I was happy because of what Kobe had done in terms of with Make-A-Wish and all that stuff. And I felt I should watch it because of his charitable work.
Yeah. Well, cool. That is it. Again, we are sending our love to the Bryant family and our support. Loss is incredibly difficult, and it's going to play a role in every one of our lives. So here at the Power of Love, at the Power of Love show and with the Dede Jackson Foundation, we try to, just talk about it more and get you more prepared when it does hit you. I think the main thing I could tell you from TJ is community. You're not alone. I love how it's the tagline in our phrase.
Mm-hmm.
You're not alone. And I think whether it's you who's dealing with grief or you're the one who's supporting someone, remember that you have a role to play and you could be there for someone in any way, whether it's just spending time with them, whether it's picking them up, whatever it is, you could be there to support. And that does so much for them. So make sure you remember that. If you want more information on our foundation, the Dede Jackson Foundation, you can go to our website, www.ddjf.org. You can go to Instagram, which is Dede Jackson Foundation. And that is it. Feel free to, whether it's make a donation, that always helps us do more programs for kids and people who are dealing with loss. Or if you just want to drop a line, you could do so by emailing us at info@ddj.org. We will be back next Wednesday, 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I think that is it. That's it for you, Taj?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Adios, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the Dede Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.